This is a totally different podcast episode that I'm usually doing because here I'm showcasing the amazing people who will be at a Freelance Unlocked conference, the first conference for freelancers made with love, and it'll take place in Berlin on May 15, 16, 2024. If you're a freelancer in Europe, it's an event made for you to learn, exchange experiences, and build your network of great freelancers and experts who move the freelance economy forward. So go to freelanceunlocked.com and grab your ticket right away. My name is Yuri. I'm a community builder at Code Control and 9am.works. And my guest is Uli Waterman, a professional Scrum Master, certified systemic coach, and change manager who supports people within companies and organizations in their continuous development, and a lecturer at the University of Cologne. So, hello, Uli.
Hello, Yuri. Nice to meet you.
First of all, tell me a little bit about your background.
Yeah, my background. Originally, I'm a banker in far gone times, since up to 1996, I was working in a bank as a banker, and then I got self-deployed. To make the storyline a little bit for you. I had the luck, in a retrospective view, I had the luck to have a series of bad chefs in the bank. And bad means here especially bad leadership, very hierarchy driven, top down, command and control, you know what I mean. And I was a person who wants to take responsibility, to be creative, to ask constantly what might be a better way to do this or that, etc. And that was simply not possible in this context I was in at that time. So I decided to become self-deployed, as a freelancer, with a focus on, because I was a banker, on especially figures and numbers, and this means in my case pension liabilities, refinancing, restructuring, outsourcing to external risk carriers, etc. And I did this a lot of years until one day executive told me while having lunch together that I should do much more with people and much less with figures and numbers. And that triggered me. It must be around 2011, 2012, I think, that triggered me. And I thought, okay, so let's try it out. And I did a lot of work in leadership development, team development, etc. Until I found a book named just simply Scrum. Yeah, it was in 2016, and I asked myself, what the hell is this? I bought it and read it, and I thought, amazing, this is how I wanted to work for the whole of my life. Stepped a little bit deeper in and got my certification as a Scrum Master and Agile Coach, and also made an education at the University of Cologne as Systemic Coach. And this was a long story short to your question, who I am and what's my background.
You know, on your LinkedIn, I saw that you started being self-employed and started being a lecturer in the university at the same time. So tell me a little bit about this.
I think this is a misunderstanding. So I'm lecturer at the University at Cologne since, I think, 2018. And I'm self-deployed since 1996. So maybe it's a little bit misunderstanding on LinkedIn. I don't know.
Okay, that's how LinkedIn works. You know, you always have to check the information before asking it. So you're being like self-employed and you're kind of freelancer for a long time already. And what is your take on the freelance economy and how it will develop in the near future?
Yeah, that's a good question. I think we have to distinguish two points of view, especially with view on the German market here. First, it's the economy's view, let me call it like that. And I think from this point of view, it's not that common until now, especially in medium-sized companies. For medium-sized companies I often work for, but they have very, very less freelancers usually. And for them, it feels a bit like, weakness, incapacity, etc., to hire freelancers to support them. Yeah. And as these are the economic drivers in the German economy, the main performers, the medium-sized companies, I think freelancing is not yet anchored in the society's perception yet. But on the other hand side, in the big corporate companies and also in the public sector, the picture is totally different. Here is freelancing widespread and well known absolutely essential to keep processes, etc., running. I think we with a view on the German market, I'm just talking about the German market because I know this best. From an employee's view, it's also it's rising, it's also still a little bit uncommon. Why is it like that? I think historically, in the decades after World War II, the fear of unemployment was one of the dominating fears in Germany. So you can say that's a long time gone, but it had been passed through the generations, from my point of view, it's still very vital. And so losing an order, getting a new one, etc., this is not something we are yet really used to in Germany.
I heard a little bit another point of view that on the contrary, it's easier to small and medium-sized companies to hire a great expert freelancer because it will cost them less and they can get results better and faster. So I'm curious why medium companies in Germany think from that way that they can't and they don't want to hire freelancers?
It's a little bit of short-term view. They focus mainly on the costs, and freelancers are more expensive than employees. No doubt about that. That's the first point of view. And as I already said, I think it's the feeling of weakness and incapacity to need freelancers to keep the company running or to develop the company further.
Okay, it looks like for me when you are buying a soap in the shop, so you can buy this like very watery style soap and it will cost less and it's like a bigger bottle, but you like use it in 1 week, or more like this stick and thick soap and then you can use it for 3 weeks and you pay kind of more in the beginning, but in the long run. It's really interesting. I feel like, it's all about shifting this mindset of people that they sometimes you have to pay more to get results faster and you can, get more benefits and you can. So I feel like it's philosophy. So
but I think it's also historically driven. That are mostly the founders or the kids of the founders of the company. Mm-hmm. They have made everything by their own. This is their company and they're in the driver's seat. This whole context is in the background and keeping them still a little bit away from hiring freelancers. But I think things are changing here.
And it's very insightful. I've never thought about freelancing from the perspective of the like generations and like inherited knowledge. But thank you very much for bringing this point. And give me a sneak peek into what you'll be talking about on the Freelance Unlocked stage.
I think from a change view, when we talk about how to initiating change from a scientific system theory perspective, we are primarily talking about communication and its effect on behavior on different social groups as well as individuals. It's all about communication at this point, and understanding why communication is a conditional phenomenon is essential for the success of change. Furthermore, it isn't only the communication itself, but also the addressees of communication. How they process communication and also the context they are working in. Organizations, functional systems, etc. I'm mostly accompanying transformations in companies of different kinds, the lack of communication is the constraint I meet very, very often.
I had this question, and it sounded like, has anything changed in communication in the last 5-10 years? But I already know the answer. Yes, definitely something changed. So I would like to ask you, what changed in the communication in the last 5-10 years?
From also here you have to distinguish from my perspective. On the one hand side, you're absolutely right, many things have changed. In the communication, for example, as we already know, due to the pandemic situation, remote versus communication in person, but also letters versus email versus chat, etc. That's what's on my mind currently. That changed, but that's only the surface of communication. I think fundamentally, actually nothing changed. It's still a two-sided phenomenon. Most people are smiling and say, okay, that's quite usual, of course. But how often do you hear in companies that the chef is saying, okay, I've communicated that so much, but nobody heard me or understood me or what else? And when I ask him, okay, what do you mean by communication? And he said, okay, I said this on this meeting, and I wrote this in the intranet, etc. But that's not communication. Communication always is a two-sided phenomenon. So and this doesn't change. And it is very prerequisite. So it requires first a sender. It requires a message. It requires a medium. Speech, email, chat, whatever. It requires a recipient. And of course, it requires a follow-up action. Without a follow-up action from you while I was talking to you, this is not a communication. Your response finally made it a communication between the two of us. And these points doesn't change. So communication in its very core is still the same since centuries.
Is a follow-up action is an answer or dialogue, or it can be also some kind of action. So if you are talking about the director, so if they send, for example, an email and somebody did something, is it also communication or communication when somebody responded and maybe did, maybe didn't do? So it depends.
Any kind of follow-up action. Just nodding your head might be a response. Turning yourself and look into another direction is also a response. The message is you don't want to talk to me.
How do you think the speed of communication changed recently?
Yeah, the speed of sending and responding, of course, changed, because in former times we wrote letters. It took days, to sometimes weeks, to get a response. But I think that's not the main difference. The main difference is the amount of communication. Yeah, and also the amount of not useful and quite senseless communication. Yeah, you just have to have a look in the social networks, for example.
Okay, so tell me a little bit about what does it mean for you, useless communication?
So let's start from the opposite side. What is useful communication? I think useful communication is all kind of communication which make a real difference. And it has to include information which makes a difference for me. Very much communication doesn't make a difference. It's just shouting out again and again and again stuff we already know. Yeah, maybe in a much nicer packaging or something like that, but it doesn't make a difference. Yeah, it just makes human interaction more complicated. Okay. Yeah, to make a simple example from in another context. Yeah, in former times, you go to the telecommunication company, buy your phone, plug it into the plug-in in the wall, and it works. Finished. And now we have this amazing smartphones with its colorful surfaces, and we are thinking this is innovation. No, it's just the same thing than before. Okay, I can make a call while walking around or sitting in my car, etc. But on the other hand side, it's the same thing than before. It's just communication, but much more difficult. I have to choose the phone every 2 years. Yeah, I have to choose which kind of payment, etc., etc.
What are the most crucial skills for people, not just right now, but in general, to be a better communicator, to communicate better with others?
Yeah, we are communicating most often from our individual point of view. And that I think is not useful, because if everybody is standing on his or her point of view communicating, we are just fighting against each other who will be the winner with his or her point of view. That's not useful. And I think in essence, the inner driver for me is to understand what the issue we are talking about looks like from your point of view. Yeah, so much more asking questions than telling about my own point of view. So my very first focus is aiming to understand what the world looks like from your point of view. I think that's very essential. And if you do the same, we can talk about the stuff in the middle, which is connecting both of us, and telling about how to fill this, I don't know the English word in German, it's Schnittmenge. Yeah, where two circles cutting each other. So we can talk about this middle and talk about what we can do with this best. Yeah. And that's much more sensible, useful, much more outcomes than just exchanging our points of view.
But I feel like to find this middle, to find this intersection, you have to be really open and, as you told, ask questions. But what I really know is that many people are afraid to ask questions, and not in a way they don't know how to do that, but in a way that they are afraid what others will think about them. So how do you think to overcome this fear of asking questions?
Yeah, it's a bit of a scientist's behavior. Yeah, just to be curious, to find out what is your exciting view on the issue we are talking about. Maybe this is a way of handling this, but of course it's. Communication becomes more uncertain by doing so. And I have to learn to handle this uncertainty.
Mm-hmm.
But on the other hand side, is the question, is it more certain to exchange our points of view? No, it isn't. Yeah, it just seems to be so, because after we exchange, nothing happens. Yeah, or it happens something I can't control either.
So what I hear that basically those questions should be aimed not to just, you know, have a conversation, but to achieve some kind of goal. So we have to always keep the goal in mind and go with those questions in a way to understand how to achieve this goal.
Yeah, or... But why do we have this goal always on mind? We can also communicate and have a conversation just in the first place to exchange our thoughts, our views, etc., and be curious what might be the outcome of this.
Is it kind of brainstorming?
Yeah, maybe kind of. It's what on my mind is if you go hiking, yeah, and your target is to reach this peak, mm-hmm. and to get back on the same day, yeah. So you're hiking, and you reach the peak and got back, but you haven't seen all this amazing stuff on the right and on the left hand side of your way, and maybe this is. Much more helpful, much more useful, much more interesting, much more innovating, whatever. Yeah, but you haven't seen it because you're so focused on the target you made up front for you, while not knowing whether this is my target or not. Yeah, so the understanding, I think, is very important.
So at the conference, you will talk about, once again, what we already discussed about the communication and how to succeed with it. But even before the conference, I really want to get some nuggets of wisdom from you right away. So what is one thing that every freelancer can start doing immediately to become a great communicator?
Yeah. I have to come back partly to what I've already said. Asking myself what the individual motivators or drivers of my dialogue partners are. And asking question on this, because it is not only about asking questions and getting these answers, but by asking questions to you. It's also a sign of appreciation you are here in this call, because I'm obviously interested, yeah, in you and your views and feelings, etc. And that's building up a totally different environment for our interaction. In essence, this, if you ask me for one point, what's your individual motivators, what is driving you regarding the issue we are talking about here?
I feel like that exactly people who are good communicators, they definitely know what they want. At least they think they know what they want. And but if somebody do not have, I'm trying to explain this, what I'm thinking about. So it's easy when you know what you want to achieve. Okay, not super easy, but you kind of can go through this journey. But if you have a feeling of what you want to get, but you don't know how to phrase it, and you still want to somehow communicate it with others, and you still want to get their answers, how to motivate, how to engage your inner curiosity in others?
I am a really curious person. Yeah, in an agile context, accompany transformations towards more agility in companies. And there are always the questions coming up, are we doing agile? Yeah, okay, we're doing agile, we're living the scrum circles, we make dailies, retrospectives, et cetera, et cetera. But are we being agile? Mm-hmm. And the most companies are not, despite some startups, et cetera. But the most companies with a longer history are not. And that's more a question of building up a useful character and views on the things. And that's what you have to work on. Yeah, it's more creating good and useful and sensible communication also with reaching targets, etc. is more about learning about me and my behavior than working on others, aiming that they take my point of view with them.
And one more question, what is the difference between doing and being agile?
Doing agile is just working, let me say, working on the surface. Yeah. Mm-hmm. For example, another context, you get an update for your smartphone, yeah, and now the surface looks different, more colorful, etc., etc., and you're very motivated to work with this. So this is my picture for doing agile. Yeah, it mm-hmm. looks much more agile and you're motivated. Now you're starting to touch on the icons and you're apprised, if not to say disappointed, because the same things are happening than before. Yeah, and this could be the being agile. Yeah, you're expecting something different to happen now, but it doesn't happen. And this means being curious in communication, for example, and not just painting the picture that looks like as if you're really curious, but you aren't. This is to be recognized very, very quickly by your dialogue partner.
And you know, by your example, I understand like this picture clearer. So exactly, if you are asking any kind of questions, you can be like, look like agile, but not being agile. But if you ask the right questions, if you listen to an answer, if you build your next questions upon on previous answers, that's exactly how you are being agile.
Absolutely, absolutely. And then the picture of communication is while asking questions to you, I appreciate you as a person, your context, you're in currently, I appreciate your history, etc. It's a totally different coming together than if I come with my point of view and I want you to take this point of view for you as well.
Yeah,
because I don't appreciate you, I don't appreciate your history, your person, the context you're in, etc. And this is was a famous German sociologist named Hartmut Rosa names points of aggression.
I think
this is a really good word for that, because we are fighting against each other. And this is consuming so much energy. And why are we doing this?
Yeah.
If I also have the chance to first ask you and appreciate what you are and what you walked through the last weeks, years, etc.
Yeah, it's totally much better. But you know, I know that so many people do not have this mindset. It's so much easier to just shut out what you think, shut out what you do, and like see what will happen next instead of just listen to others and like trying to meet people where they are. And
yeah. That's my in essence, that's my mission. Yeah. To get if I am as a lecturer or a workshop on this conference, if I reach 2, 3, 4, 5 people who are saying, okay, that's it, I'm starting to go this way and work myself, we're a step more further.
Got it. So you're definitely a speaker at Freelance Unlocked. So if your friend wanted to ask you, and if your friend asked you whether they should go to the Freelance Unlocked, what would you say to them?
Yeah, I think it might be the same motivation as it is for me. I would say, encourage developing and maintaining network. Yeah, that's a core advantage I expect for me, and I think that's for all of us very important. But also getting inspirational input. Learn about other perspectives, other doings, whatever. And also, of course, having fun together and a few days in an amazing city. And maintaining and creating network and getting inspirational input, that's the core for me.
And what is the best way to connect with you even before the conference?
Via email or but via phone, but maybe this is sometimes very different. So the better way is to email up front and make an appointment, and then we also can have a call.
Got it.
Or LinkedIn as a social network.
The best, the easiest, the easiest case scenario. Just go to LinkedIn and find.
So, exactly.
You know, Uli, thank you so much for sharing your experience even before the conference. And I can't wait to meet you in person and to learn even more from you at the Freelance Unlocked conference.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to meet you there. Fine. Thank you so much, Yuri.
And for those who listen, I hope you follow Uli's advice, implement it, and say thank you to him in person at the Freelance Unlocked conference on May 15-16 in Berlin. Go to freelanceunlocked.com, grab your ticket, and meet you there.